Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we have today to be able to just open and break open the book of life that we might be able to eat from it once again this morning. Bless God, protect, watch over each of us. Help us as we go through the struggles of life, the challenges that this life presents us, and help us to recognize that you are always near, that you're still here with us, even those times where it feels that the storm has overtaken us. In Jesus' name we ask and we pray all things. Let us all say amen. Amen. This morning we're going to speak in tongues. And no, we're not going back to Pentecostal church ways, all right? No, no, no. I want you to pronounce with me, alelon. Alelon. All right, now the Greek scholars out there in the audience, if I'm pronouncing it wrong, well, you're just going to have to forgive me. All right, alelon, alelon. It kind of, in this word, you can kind of hear and see the word alone. But this word does not mean alone, it's the exact opposite. Opposite of being alone. It's a word that actually is talking to us about one another, being together, each other, one another, our mutual relationships, one to another. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Last week, we dealt with a topic on last week that was dealing about encouraging one another. And I want to kind of dive into this just a little bit more. And to set the scene, once again, we looked at John 13, 34, a new command I give to you, love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. It's Thursday night in the upper room, and tomorrow Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. His hands are still wet from washing the feet of his disciples, even Judas. His heart is heavy. And in this moment, he calls them together and he shares with them this command. A new command, he says, I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Now, his disciples might have heard that and kind of scratched their head for a little bit. What do you mean, a new command, love one another? That's already in our scriptures. Leviticus talks about the fact that we are to love one another. This isn't a new command. But Jesus says, a new command I give to you wasn't really about the love one another part of it. It was about the as I have loved you. See, now we've got a standard. Now we've got something to be able to look at. Now we have something to be able to measure this love by. And he's saying, look at my love. Look at my perfect love. Look at how I pour out my love to you and to the world. Now we have something to be able to look by, a real type of love, not just an artificial thing. You know, words that are kind of just thrown out there every now and then. I love you. We've heard those words, haven't we? Just words casually thrown out into the atmosphere and all that. But yet, Jesus is saying these aren't just words that are thrown out there just casually. No, I'm proving it and I'm showing it and I'm demonstrating to you each and every day. Real love. Love that goes beyond, you know, our faults. Love that sits, you're sitting right next to somebody with bad breath right now and still going to love on them anyway. Amen? Amen. Love that looks beyond our faults and doesn't expect that we're all going to be perfect and act perfectly at all times. That's the type of love that we're talking about this morning. Jesus says, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must. You notice he starts off and saying, a new command I'm giving you. This is something you must do. Love isn't an option. Love isn't something that possibly we can do if we're Christians. Love is a must. Love is a command. Love is why? Because love is who God is. It's his greatest attribute. God is love. And he's saying if he's love and you're his child, then we ought to look like God. And that means we ought to love like God. As I loved you, you must love one another. How does he love us? When we were still enemies. When we were at our worst, he loved us. He dies for us, and he calls us friends. When we were most unlovable, he loves us anyway. You know, when think about this for a moment. I remember I used to ride the public transportation. If you ever have to drive and ride public transportation, you know you get all sorts around you, right? And sometimes you'll get a person on and that stop will open and they come on and whoo, you know what I'm saying, B.O. B.O. And you're going, please don't sit next to me. Please don't sit next to me. Please. And of course, You try, and you go, I just can't. Next stop, you see a seat open up over there, and you like you make a beeline to that next seat, right? Jesus' love says, I stay right there. I put my hand around the brother. You all right? You doing all right? You need something? Have you eaten today? He talks to the person and has a conversation and looks for ways to meet needs and that's the Jesus type of love. Now I'm not saying that's the Domingo type of love. I want you to see this. Domingo's not the standard. We used to have these braces, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Right? Why? Because it sobers us and it makes us look and recognize that his standard is greater than mine. What would Jesus do? And that's why he shows us, here's how to love. First, look at me and how I love. If we ever have a question or any type of doubts, what would Jesus do? And he showed us over and over again. We just sang about this amazing grace. That's the type of love. A love that looks beyond us in our faults and our failures. A love that looks and sees the need to help somebody and build them up. A new command I give to you, love as I have loved you. So you must love one another. One of the greatest ways is found right here. One of the most challenging. Listen, for the Christians, I'm not just talking about for the world. For Christians, blood-bought, redeemed Christians, this is still challenging for us. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Just like this. Just like you're forgiven. Here's another example of us and what Christ does for us. And now him measuring our actions by how great and superior his action is toward us. How great he showers us with this love and grace and mercy. And us as recipients of all of that, he's showing us and telling us, you are indebted to me. Do you recognize how much grace I give you each and every day? How many times I overlook your faults? How many times I have stopped and refrained from judgment coming upon you based upon actions that you have done against me? And if we stop and we reflect and we think about how good God has been to us and how forgiving he's been toward us, And then he has that expectation that if I've done so much for you, if I've given you so much, then to your brother and your sister, to your friend and to your foe, what you will forgive them for is not even in comparison to all that God has forgiven us for. Amen? Amen? If we're really honest. So God says, so he says, be kind, be compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. In Romans 5:8, it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, for the ungodly. Before he knew you you had a problem, he already had a solution ready. God was already preparing for us. And so he asks us to forgive, just like he does. And then that flows right into service. That flows right into service. When I recognize how indebted I am, how do I now give back? How do I now serve? You know, we serve God. Yeah, when we come together, we come and we're getting equipped and we're connecting with God individually and all of that. But then once again, we're talking about one another aspects. This is community. This is fellowship. This is a family. This is me looking out for you and you looking out for me. This alelone is I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I have community. I have fellowship. God has placed us in community. God has placed us in ecclesia. God has placed us in a family. And I'm going to just say this. I talked about this a little bit last week, but, you know, in family, you got family problems sometimes. It just happens in life. You know, crazy Uncle Joe, every time on Thanksgiving, he get drunk and just start cussing up stuff. Come on. Oh, excuse me, that's our family. That's our family, not y'all's family, all right? You know you got the crazy uncle and the crazy aunt and then this and that, but they still family. You got the brother who and the sister who, you know, but you're still family. And we're reminded often, we've got to be reminded often, you're still family. I remember this oftentimes. My father gave us that pep talk all the time. It was three boys and a girl in the household, us, and we were always fighting against each other. All right? But we were always being reminded, you are family. You stick together. You fight each other's battle. You know how many fights I had to fight because my brother's crazy? Some of them because I was crazy. All right, anyway, all right. We'll talk. That's another sermon for another day, all right? But we serve each other. He says that we through love we serve one another. John 13:14, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. Jesus shows and demonstrates by his actions, not just by words, by his actions. His action was so profound, Peter's like, not my feet, Lord. His action was so profound. But Jesus shows us that you want to be the greatest, you got to get down and get down the lowest. Last week we talked about encouraging one another. This world throws some stuff at us. Hello. I mean, I don't care if you're an elder, or a preacher, a deacon, whatever, a church mouse. You're going to have some problems, all right? We're going to have some issues that come our way, and encouragement just says, look, keep going. It's going to be all right, bro. And you know what? Sometimes that's all we need. I don't need you to come fix everything, all right? First of all, if you could, you probably would have done it already. Sometimes I don't need all that. Sometimes, brother, keep going. God's got you. He's seen you through other times, right? He'll see you through this one as well. Unless, of course, you're doing something crazy. Then you need to say, stop doing that, all right? That's another sermon for another day. All right, we're mounting up some sermons now. But encourage one another. Build one another up. And let's look for those opportunities. Now, here are the negatives, the friendly fires, the don't do's. The don't do's to one to another. Don't grumble against one another. Don't lie one to another. Don't bite, devour one another. Watch out, you will be destroyed by each other. Now, I'm thankful. Now, we're not a perfect congregation. There is no perfect congregation out there in the world. Doesn't exist. Right? However, we're a good congregation. Right? We're a good congregation. Right? And I've been to some congregations. I can compare. I'm saying we're a good congregation because I'm right now in my mind thinking of some other congregations. And I ain't going to tell you who I'm thinking of. But I'm thinking of some folks. And I've been around long enough, ministering long enough, seen enough churches long enough that you can see the difference in a congregation where people are at odds with one another. It feels like the Spirit of God is not there. There's no growth. There's no excitement. There's no, why? Because this one is talking behind the back of this one, and this one's doing this, and this one slept with this one, and this one did that, and that. Yeah, and I said it because these are real life things that happen in life. And we got to make sure that we don't become that, and we don't become those type of things in this world. And he's saying, don't grumble against one another. Don't have those negativity and gossip and this and that and fighting and backbiting and all that. It stops the progress of the church. Listen, when you're in an environment like that, how can you grow? How can it be on mission? You're fighting fires all the time. How can you be on mission for the Lord? You're fighting all the internal battles and friendly fire and all that kind of stuff. You can't be attacking the enemy because you got the attacks all on the inside. Thankfully, it's at a minimal. And it's been at a minimal the last 6 years we've been here. Praise God. But it's something we have to fight for. You've got to fight for unity. Right, unity, you've got to fight for mission and direction and go moving in the right direction, because the enemy knows where we're trying to go and where we need to be, and he's going to try to throw everything to stop us from getting there, right? But we stay on task. We recognize that if a house that's not divided, right, a house divided against itself, what is it going to do? A house divided against it will fall, but if it's not, absolutely, it's going to stand. So let us continually be a united front, united, of course, around Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, that was a great, I'm going to just read something real quick, and we're going to close out soon. I like what Brother Gaynor shared with earlier in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. The life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. He's saying, look, this life, we've seen it, we've touched it, we've been around it. We are witnesses to this life. Of course, he's talking about Jesus the Christ. These are eyewitnesses of Jesus the Christ. They're saying we've had this experience with him. And this is what we want to share with you. That which we've seen, verse 3, and heard, we declare unto you, that you also might have fellowship with us. And this is the beauty of the gospel. The gospel is a message that is shared, but also you can participate in. You can, as you obey the gospel, you're now brought in to this family. It's a message of liberation. It's a message of transformation. It's a message of transition, changing you out of darkness, moving you out of darkness into his marvelous light. But it starts with the preaching of Jesus, of the gospel of Jesus Christ and who he is. That's the very foundation, and he's sharing this message here. And he's saying, you too can have fellowship with us, the family of God. And our fellowship, look at this, that you might have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write that your joy might be full. Jesus, God, invites us into this family. A family with broken people, but a family that needs one another. We talked about this on last week. A family that needs one another. We need each other's strengths. We need each other's, you know, I was sharing with George just the other day. We were talking about this fact, and he said, oh, man, I like certain things you do. And I said, and I like certain things that you do. And I said, isn't that the beauty of it? You know, because you're admiring something about me, and I'm going, man, forget that. I'm admiring something about you. And then you're seeing how God is using the gifts and the strengths that each of us have in order to be a blessing for the body of Jesus Christ. You say, I'm just a little toe. Well, man, you better wiggle that little toe. Amen? I'm just an eye. I'm a nobody. No, you are somebody. Right? I don't know what an appendix does, but I wanted to keep it in me when they told me they had to take it out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, whatever part you are, function in that part. Be a blessing to the body, and God will use you in a mighty way. Alone, one another. This is the life that God has called us to, a life of one another. If you needed a sermon title, that was the life of one another. Love one another, forgive one another, serve one another, encourage one another. I want to share this with you. 100 times in the Bible, this phrase is in there. 59 of them is a command. 59 times there's a command. For us, God is commanding us into not just into being in fellowship with one another, but how we act in fellowship with one another. Let us love, let us forgive, let us serve, let us continue. Just if we want to just simplify it all, once again, look at how Jesus lived. And ask ourselves, am I doing what he's doing? Am I loving like he's loving? Would he love in this same way? And if you know that it's not, then make a course correction. And let's just do it the Lord's way. Amen? Amen. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you recognize and realize that you need to come to the Lord. You need to get into this family. You need to get into the blessings that are a part of being in the family of God. And you know, there's only certain blessings. You know, everyone gets the blessings of God, the general blessings, right? Sun shines on the just and the unjust alike. If the rain falls on everyone, and there are certain blessings everyone gets, but there are spiritual blessings only found in Christ. Maybe today you're ready to tap into those blessings. You're ready to become a part of the family of God. Jesus came. He died on the crude cross of Calvary. He died because, as was already told, that there was a satisfaction, there was a need for blood to satisfy sin. But Jesus comes to do one time what they had continually been doing daily and yearly, you know, passing these sins on up to the point to where Jesus came and just for one time only gave his life and paid the penalty for all sins. And then he gives and offers man an invitation into this relationship. And that's the invitation we've been talking about with the gospel. Christ dies, Christ is buried, Christ rose, but with that is also an invitation to man. Will you now come and accept the penalty that he already paid? He paid it. Let me say it again. He paid it. It wasn't your good works. It wasn't anything so great about us and all that. He paid the price, but then offers us this great gift of salvation. Yeah, do we have to do something to accept it? Yeah. Believe him. Surrender to him. Give your life to him. And demonstrate that by first being buried in the watery grave of baptism and rise to walk in newness of life. Well, why? Why do I need to do that? Well, first of all, because Jesus said do it. I'll just say that. Second of all, because in baptism, it demonstrates and it retells the story. He died, he was buried, and he rose. Romans 6 shares with us that we die to our sins in baptism. We're buried in the water grave baptism, and we rise to walk in newness of life. What we're doing in baptism is also replicating and reminding and rehearsing even to the world, showing to them of what Jesus did. Just like when we come and we partake at the Lord's table, we're being reminded of his death, burial, and resurrection. Well, in baptism, we're being reminded of his death, burial, and resurrection also. He died, he was buried in a tomb. In the tomb, there was something that changed, and then when they opened the tomb, we see the change. Well, here we go, and we're buried. We die in our sins in baptism. We're buried in that watery grave. There's a change that takes place. God washes away our sins in baptism. We rise to walk in newness of life. We become a new creature, a new creation in Christ Jesus after we've obeyed the gospel. Man, maybe there's somebody to hear today, and you're ready. You ready for that newness? You ready to become that new creature in Jesus Christ? You can have him wash away your sins even this morning if you're ready. All things are ready. We got water warm and ready. We've got clothes that are ready. We even got something for your hair. If you need something to put over your hair, we got you. Are you ready? If you're ready, won't you come as we stand and we sing the song of invitation? Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus just now, just now. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus just now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you just now, just now. He will save you, he will save you just now. He will cleanse you. Is there one this morning that would come? Allow him to cleanse you even this morning. Just now, he will cleanse you. He will cleanse you just now. Amen, amen. And now, my brother will close out.
Good morning. It's good.